We're excited to announce that our very own podcasting platform, Zencastr, has become a new sponsor to the show. Check out the podcast discount link in our show notes and stay tuned for why we love using Zen for the podcast.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Archaeology Show. TAS goes behind the headlines to bring you the real stories about archaeology and the history around us. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to episode 70 of You Call This Archaeology, and we're in sort of the actual recording studio part of the Reno Collective here in Reno, Nevada. So we call this the makerspace, although this is the room where the engineers would have been, like with the big board and stuff like that.
It's the speakers.
Yes, the speakers up in the ceiling there.
Oh man, did they get any money for the equipment they took out?
No, I mean, the former owners took all the stuff out.
Ah.
Yeah, except those speakers, which are very pricey speakers. But we're not using them for anything because they're not hooked up to anything. I don't know what we'd even hook them up to. So,
well, all right. Ha, hang on, let's go back to...
Yeah. So, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. If you're joining us, please comment, say hi, say something. I see Eliza's on there. We've had a lot of people joining us for the show live. If you're listening to this recording on the Archaeology Show, you can go to facebook.com/arcpod/ arcpodnet to be notified of when we go live.
Yeah.
I also post this to a bunch of groups, but you can also find us on YouTube.
Yeah, at Happy Archaeology Fun Time.
Yeah, so... go over and subscribe to Richie's YouTube page. Hit that little bell so you can be notified when he goes live. And then you can join in on the show. Because that's the whole point of the show, is to be a live show.
Yeah.
And for anybody new, especially the Archaeology Show audience, which I'm starting to put this out to a lot more, is, you know, this is rarely completely about archaeology.
No. Or, you know, most of the time.
Yeah, probably most of the time. Yeah.
Especially since I've been spending so much time watching myself talk about archaeology and you talk about something else.
Right.
Oh my God. You know, I mean, I probably shouldn't start off the show just jumping into it, but I've been watching a lot of these new Mac Pros reviews.
Yeah.
It makes me so jealous because like rendering video is like, they do it in like, it's basically less than a minute for each minute of footage.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it's like 10 to 15 minutes for each minute of footage.
Well, one of the other members here at the Reno Collective was actually just out into the in the entryway there.
Yeah.
And when I was on my way upstairs to get this other computer here, I was asking him because he just got one of the new MacBook Pros.
Yeah.
And he specifically said, as I was heading up the stairs, he said video and audio rendering are lightning fast now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
On a laptop computer.
Yeah. And that's why I want that's why I will probably be rebuilding my computer as soon as I get, you know, work again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. I was watching a YouTube channel. I don't even know what she does exactly, but, you know, she keeps popping up in my feed and she got like an HP and same thing for her. She was it was like a MacBook Air class of like laptop and she was able to render footage in like 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
For 1 minute. And I'm like, my God, that's so depressing.
Well, in the small archaeological tidbit on all this is if you're traveling around and you've got a side hustle rolling and you're doing stuff, you probably don't have a lot of time at the end of the day.
No.
You're working a long day. You're tired. Yeah. You go in a shower and stuff like that. But if you do have a YouTube channel or you have something else you're doing, I mean, having a snappy computer is going to, I mean, it's going to hurt your wallet a little bit. But I think in the long run, it's going to save you a lot of time.
Yeah. Although it does make me laugh because, you know, when I first got my desktop computer running, it was like... light years ahead of my Mac Mini, and my Mac Mini was light years ahead of my laptop that I was using when I originally started editing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So people can imagine how long it took me to edit videos then. That's why that's the reason why my footage, like my output wasn't so great.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's funny with talking about gear and stuff like that. I feel like CRM firms are kind of the same way. In kind of like slowly ramping up the quality and quantity of the things that they have. I mean, it's the same thing when you're talking about podcasting or video, stuff like that. You're always buying new stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not buying new stuff just for the sake of buying new stuff. It's like, man, I have a need here in this system and I need this component to make that all work. And sometimes you need another component to make all the other components work.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I've been doing a lot of videos up in my office and I mean, the lighting up there is horrific. Yeah. You know, the light of the computer screen is not enough to evenly light my face.
Yeah.
And even if I'm usually I'm not wearing a hat when I'm like doing a webinar or something like that, but I'm on a lot of video conference calls too for my job. So,
yeah.
I'm constantly talking to other people and videos on probably 20 times a week. So because of that, I didn't need like a full light setup for that, but I did end up getting this little Loom cube thing that basically suctions onto the back of my computer. You can see it right here. And it's got a little like soft light diffuser on it. It's got the white one too, but I mean, I'm already blinded just looking at this thing. So there's that. But you can see, looking at my face here, if I cover this, you can see how dim I get. And then if I come back like this, man, the video is just great.
Oh, wait, sorry, I'm just catching up now. Look at that.
Yeah. So when Richie and I are monitoring, because I've got the, I've got what you guys are watching over here, and I've got the real-time version right here in front of me, and it's easily 30 seconds behind.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of monitoring, it's like, it's going to be so, my God, if we can get like, if now that I've got audio on my desktop, and now that I think I figured out everything, we can now take this show on the road. So now hopefully next, that's like my New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
To do more shows. Knock on wood.
Nice. Yeah. Cause we've always been limited to doing this show based, basically on Richie's schedule because you're out of town a lot.
Yeah.
I'm out of town a fair amount, but, usually for the weekends I'm in town because when I'm out of town, it's for business or something like that. And it's during the week. So I'm always here on like a Sunday when we do the show, but Richie's off in archaeology land doing stuff. So it'd be nice to get this remotely set up so we can keep it going.
Yeah, we're going to try that after the show.
Yeah, and also I was telling Richie this on Friday. I've made a concerted effort now to start recording every one of these and releasing on the archaeology show. So if you're listening to this at arcpodnet.com/archaeology, the archaeology show is a podcast on the archaeology podcast network. Yeah. So the audio version of this, I'm releasing basically unedited, uncut, just like you're hearing it now, every other week on that show. Because we get a lot of people coming into that show. And I want to it's our second highest listened to stream. Well, really our third highest, because our first highest is the all shows feed from the APN. More people listen to that than anything else, which really encourages me that they like all of our content. I mean, the thing gets like 15,000 downloads a month.
Really?
It's insane. Yeah. Interesting. But then the next one down is the Dirt Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And there's two reasons I can think of just as a pure mathematical person and a producer why the Dirt Podcast is one of our highest listened to shows.
Yeah.
First off, they're fantastic. Anna and Amber are great hosts. Yeah. I like the way that they do stuff. They do well-researched podcasts. If you don't listen to the Dirt Podcast, you should.
Yes.
But second, they're weekly. Just by sheer numbers, they're going to get more downloads.
True.
So looking at that as the health of the APN, downloads is the only currency we have to measure that by. And I don't want to put out just garbage content, even though this show can actually be garbage content. But garbage is what we study in archaeology.
I think it's interesting that you pay attention, so much more attention to the analytics than I do. Because literally, I check into YouTube Creator like maybe once every 3 or 4 months.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the APN now has an employee to work on advertising. And we have to monitor downloads. Most of the time I don't care. You're right. Most of the time I don't give a crap. But when I'm talking to advertisers, they care. Advertisers need to know how many downloads we have. We need to know that the effort that we're putting into it is actually getting us, getting our advertisers more bang for their buck. So, and I just got to check and make sure we got audio every once in a while. Eliza's still in there. Eliza, give us a high five or let us know what you're up to today. So that's the deal with that. So we're going to be releasing a lot more of this. You call this archaeology content. Now, if you don't want to listen to it, the beauty of podcasting is you can just skip it, delete the episode. Yeah. It's going to be clearly marked in your feed. It's going to say YCTA bonus. I think I'm putting bonus YCTA episode, whatever.
Yeah.
And we're just dropping that in the feed every other episode.
Yeah.
So,
not to get back to equipment too much.
Sure.
I did want to say that if you do enough Googling, you can always get equipment for cheaper, especially if it's vintage.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted a Shure, like an SM58.
Like the four that are sitting in front of us?
Yes, but then I can't, like, I don't want to, I just bought a mixer, and I'm like, God damn it, do I really want to pay another $100? And one of those things I learned.
It's so worth it.
I know.
I mean, a good microphone?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the thing is, the one I've got now is really good, but I also wanted a different one, just in case I needed two of them. Anyway, it's a long story, but sure, not only did they sell it under their own name, but for the longest time, they also sold microphones under the in Radio Shack.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I as soon as we're done with the show, I'm going to buy one off eBay for $15.
Wait, they're Radio Shack microphones, or they used to be?
No, they are like in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Okay.
Shure was making Radio Shack's high-grade microphones, but because...
Ah, I see.
But because they're Radio Shack branded and not Shure, and not technically Shure branded.
Right.
But if you look closely, especially at the XLR inputs,
yeah,
it actually says Shure on the bottom on most of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's just like, oh, neat.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Because one of the things I realized is SM58's never goddamn lose value ever.
They're just great microphones.
Yeah.
You never hear from going bad.
No,
they're a good like mid-range mic. Yeah. They're not super expensive, but they're durable. I like the weight of them because it means that they're decent quality, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got one packed in my suitcase right now ready to take to North Carolina tomorrow. You know, because I'm going to travel with it. I don't know if I'm going to use it. Well, I know I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
We've got a recording we're going to try.
Yeah.
We're going to try to go live again for our live audience on December 30th. Is that the date?
No, that's Monday.
That's Monday. It's December 29th.
Yeah.
December 29th. We're going to try to go live on December 29th. It'll be 6:30 for me. If we do the same time, 3:30 for Richie, if we get this rolling, but hopefully we do. But yeah, I'll have my SM58 plugged into my Zoom H6 and then plugged into my computer.
Yeah.
My little light on, sitting down in the, sitting down wherever basement room I'm going to be in on my sister-in-law's house.
Oh my God. You know, speaking of like upgrading, you know what I was looking at last night that I never even thought of until I got that mixer hooked up?
Yeah.
I like treating my room for audio.
Yeah?
Yeah, my living room. I'm like, God damn it. Suddenly it's going to start.
There you go. Well, the one benefit to you actually doing this in your living room is that it's a... Well, first off, it's to the credit of the audio, it's a relatively small room, right?
Yeah.
But you've got like a couch in there.
Yeah.
You know, you've got curtains on your windows. I mean, all that is already treating the room.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to have that stuff in there because that's the, you know... There's people with living rooms that are like hardwood floors and stuff like that and all windows. And it's just like, my God, the echo in there would be phenomenal. You know, my living room, I feel like would be okay if I leave my blinds down because it's a relatively small room as well, full of furniture. But I also have a hardwood floor, but a big carpet on there. So I could probably do it. But I don't know. I think it'd be too echoey.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And hopefully this means I can do more content. We'll see.
Yeah.
Because, you know, right now I want to do more live streaming from home now that I got everything set up.
Sure.
We'll see, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, well, you got some stuff on the list here. What do you want to bring up first?
Oh, hang on. Shoot. Since I did not sign in.
Well, then I will say it. So the first thing on your list is you've got your master's. Now what?
Oh, a buddy of mine. And I'm not going to say who, because, you know, they posted it on their personal Facebook, but they're like, you know, I just got my master's degree. You know, now what? And the thing is, she's at a job that she really likes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, what is a master's degree good for?
Not a whole lot. No, I'm just kidding. she's got a master's in anthropology or archaeology specifically.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we actually just talked about this a little bit on our Sierra Mark podcast recording before this episode.
Oh, right.
Which debuts on January 1st.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that one of the hosts brought up was, is it worth it to start a business anymore? Like if you have a master's degree and you want to start a business, a CRM archaeology business, doing CRM artwork, presumably, is it even beneficial to do that? And I had a pretty solid answer for that. And my answer is hell no.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think, especially people who just got out of college, okay, now I have a master's degree, I'm going to start a business. I actually had that thought, but I didn't right away. I waited a few years. But then the other thing is too, starting a business that is just like everybody else's business and you have no competitive advantage whatsoever.
Yeah.
Is not going to make you very happy person.
And wasn't one of the issues you were having getting contracts in the beginning is the fact that they weigh or they add like your company's experience?
Yes, past experience is taken into consideration for a lot of BLM and government contracts.
Yeah.
Now you can add past experience as like a PI or a field director or something like that. Somebody who's managed a project from end to end.
Yeah.
If you did it for other companies, that does actually count.
Oh.
It won't count as much as if you're running your own business because they don't want you to go bankrupt while you're doing the project, you know, or decide to get out of business. They need that sort of security, right?
Yeah.
So that does help, but, and And it might be that you might have to go find some private contracts, some other stuff to get that experience if you can't find the government experience, you know?
Well, it's also interesting because certain states, like I feel like California, it's easier to break into it with your own business since it seems to be like a lot of county level stuff and like private homeowner stuff.
It's funny you mention that because California's, it might be easier because there's a lot more work, but it's hard to get it set up in California because the business licensing process is way more expensive.
Oh, it is?
And way more convoluted. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know,
it's like $200 here in Reno, in Nevada, you know, really kind of 400 with the extra thing you got to do. But so 400, we'll just say 400.
Yeah.
And it's 400 every year.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got to pay mine for this year. but it's, it's in California, it's a couple thousand dollars when it's all said and done.
You know,
to get everything done.
And people are actually thinking about doing that after they get out of grad school and they got all that loan debt.
I know. If you don't have, honestly, even if you're working for yourself, I would say you need to have $20,000 to $30,000 in the bank.
And that's like a low end.
That's a low end. If you want to make, say, $70,000 a year, then you should have about $90,000 in the bank because you're going to be paying yourself that whole year.
Yeah.
And if you want to make that as your salary, and I'm only saying that because if you live in California, you probably need to make that just to live in California.
Yeah.
But if you want your salary to be $40,000 a year, you better have about 70, 75 in the bank because you may not get any contracts that first year. You may be spending all of your time pounding the pavement and building contacts and going to conferences and doing things to meet people. And, you know, because I think one of the best ways to get yourself established is to honestly do some work for other CRM firms.
Ah.
You know, get in and do the field work or something for other firms. And that way, they take on most of the responsibility, most of the liability, and you go out and do the field work, but you're not an employee. You know, I did a lot of that when I was first starting out.
Yeah, but you still ended up in a lot of debt.
Well, kind of. I mean, you're in debt at various cycles. You know, I was in debt for some projects, and then, you know, the next projects get you out of debt. I mean, that's just how it works. So, you know, some projects were poorly bid through no fault of my own, and other projects were not, you know, so it just depends, you know.
Plus, you know, obviously when digital recording first came on, like a lot of the smaller, more nimble companies were able to like take that up right away. But now that bigger companies are starting to take it on and suddenly they can lower their costs too exponentially.
Right.
Especially if they got in-house IT staff that actually is dedicated to that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I remember, you know, when you and I were both at a big company together and like every little thing was just like a battle. But now that everyone's just, now that everyone can see that, like, you know, you don't need clipboard anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what can a small independent CRM company actually offer?
Right.
That a big one can't.
Or I know.
Can they offer anything?
Well, it's hard to say, you know. I mean, the other thing we talked about is if you start a business, you start a CRM archaeology business, again, if you're trying to do everything, if you just want to have your own survey projects and you want to do your own thing, you're going to be a very sad person because you're going to be unemployed basically, but employed by yourself. And I mean, I was on unemployment for the first few months I was still starting my business.
I remember that.
Yeah, I don't think that's legal, but I was on unemployment. Anyway, it's too long ago for them to nail me for it now. But no, the point is, and this is what I mentioned on the CRM Art podcast, again, coming out on the first, if you go in and try to niche down and really say, listen, this is my specialty, this is what I want to focus on, there needs to be a need for that. So you should probably contact some people you know at CRM firms and say, hey, if this were a thing, would you hire this out? You know, like one of the things Bill brought up on the CRM Art podcast was like, if you're a paleoethnobotanist or something like that, and you know how to do that analysis, or you're into faunal analysis or zooarchaeology or something like that, or geoarchaeology or whatever. Lithic analysis. Maybe you're an expert in historic mining towns or something like that, but you want to put yourself out there as that. Well, first you got to see, is there a need for that? Are CRM firms going to put down the money? Are they going to see the value in doing that? And it looks like our live video has interrupted on my side.
Oh, no.
It says it'll resume shortly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me check my end. No, I'm still good.
I'm still good on my side. Anyway. you know, if you want to do that. But then what I told them on the CRM Art podcast is you still need two things.
Yeah.
One, you need something that a lot of archaeologists are unwilling to do because archaeologists are somewhat introverted.
Oh,
whether a little or a lot, but you need to be able to promote yourself. If you don't have a digital marketing, at least familiarity, you know, take some free courses online, take some paid courses online.
Yeah.
Learn how to market yourself, because the if you build it, they will come model simply doesn't work for anyone. And if you don't know how to not only talk yourself up in a very egotistical way, but that's how you have to do it. You have to go to a company and say, listen, I am the best in the field at this. Yeah. And here's my proof.
Yeah.
You know, I know how to do this. I can do it cheaper and faster than the other guys. And I will give you an amazing product. And I had carry my own professional liability insurance. And, you know, this is what it's going to be. And the advantage to you doing this with me versus doing it in house or with somebody else is ... You know, you have to have those things listed out. And you have to be willing to, as I said, promote yourself and say, you know, we're going to get this done, and I'm going to help you do it. And if you don't know how to do that, or you're not willing to do that, then you're simply not going to have any business. Yeah. And the other thing is, you need to have money. You need to have money in the bank to be able to support yourself, support those efforts, support the boosted posts, support the marketing, support your business cards, support your whatever you need, any marketing materials. You just can't do it without money. The other thing I mentioned is I started my business with some money I had in the bank, but then my brother was in a certain circumstance at the time and he offered this. I wasn't even thinking about it, but he loaned me $7,000 that helped me, which wasn't nearly enough, but helped me get some things off the ground early on and really do some of the stuff that I would have had to wait a longer to do. But the fact is, if I had won a project that I needed 10 employees for, I'd have been totally hosed that first month. Like, I didn't know what I was getting into, you know? So that was, I'm glad I didn't. So anyway, that's what I think about having a master's degree. I think with a master's degree, personally, I think you should go find, if you have experience in CRM, go find the biggest firm you can in town that you want to live in, the biggest engineering firm, the biggest environmental firm, find the biggest one and try to go get a job there. Because you're going to have way more security early on. True. And you're going to be able to fly under the radar because they have other people there. And while you're learning their processes and their experiences, you won't have so much responsibility. If you try to take that new master's degree, even if you have a ton of CRM experience and you try to go to another company, you're going to be put in charge of a project and a budget immediately. Okay. And that's just going to happen. And maybe you've done that before. Maybe you haven't. But it's going to be scary either way. And if you fail, you're going to fail spectacularly. And a lot of people are going to be relying on you. But if you fail at a massive company,
That's true.
That can be sucked in and you can call it a learning experience. I mean, not guaranteeing that. They might still fire you. But
well, I mean, at the company we both worked for, that definitely, like, you know, people messed up projects all the time.
There was definitely a lot of failure from the master's degree level people.
Yeah. And yet they weren't fired until, like, the end. You know, when the office ran out of money, but that's another story.
Right. So that's my recommendation. If you don't have any CRM experience, 100% don't start your own company. Still try to find a job with a company that's large enough that you're not the only cog in the machine. You know, you're part of a team and you you have the ability to you have the ability to find your own way. You know what I mean?
Or like learn on the job.
Learn on the job. That's what I mean. And the other cool thing about a bigger company is sometimes they're a little more flexible with, you know, money. In that, once you do get comfortable enough, and this is something Heather was mentioning on the CRM podcast, was, you know, her company, she comes up with ideas and things, and they're pretty cool about saying, let's run with it.
Really?
Yeah. So, and it's nice to find a company like that.
Yeah.
You won't always get a company like that, but always keep in mind too, these bigger firms, it's not the company that's not like that. From a corporate level, they're probably 100% like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you might get some grizzled old archaeologist that's the PI for that division, and they're not like that. So don't put it on the company. It really is the immediate archaeological chain of command that you're having a problem with.
I mean, you know, we both work for companies where every little thing, like, you know, like, we've been doing this way for 20, 30 years. Why should we change? It's like, know, perfect.
Right? Yeah, I hear you. So, anyway. Good times.
Sort of.
Yeah. Well, this is a good point. Let me just call a break real quick for the podcast audience. If you don't like listening to commercials, go over to arcpodnet.com/members, because at a couple of our levels, possibly all of them, I can't even remember, you get early downloads, and the early downloads do not have commercials in them.
Oh, they don't?
No, they don't. Because of our new hosting system, it has to go to the podcast host to actually get the commercial or the advertisement served up to it. But the early downloads come through a special page on the APN that you get access to through your password and your username.
Yeah.
And you just hear this shoop, shoop, the little sound effect, and no ad. So, so benefit of membership, no ads. But since if you're not listening to this on that, here's your ad.
All right.
Chris Webster here for the Archaeology Podcast Network. We strive for high quality interviews and content so you can find information on any topic in archaeology from around the world. One way we do that is by recording interviews with our hosts and guests located in many parts of the world all at once. We do that through the use of Zencastr. That's Z-E-N-C-A-S-T-R. Zencastr allows us to record high quality audio with no stress on the guest. Just send them a link to click on and that's it. Zencastr does the rest. They even do automatic transcriptions. Check out the link in the show notes for 30% off your first 3 months, or go to zencastr.com and use the code TAS. Looking to expand your knowledge of x-rays and imaging in the archaeology field? Then check out An Introduction to Paleoradiography, a short online course offering professional training for archaeologists and affiliated disciplines. Created by archaeologist, radiographer, and lecturer James Elliott, the content of this course is based upon his research and teaching experience in higher education. It is approved by the Chartered Institute for Archaeologists as 4 hours of training. That's in the UK, for those of you that don't know. So don't miss out on this exciting opportunity for professional and personal development. For more information on pricing and course structure, visit paleoimaging.com. That's P-A-L-E-O imaging.com. And look for the link in the show notes to this episode. All right. So we're back for the live audience that we just had to cut there. But for the podcast audience, we just served you up a little ad there. So enjoy.
Oh, perfect.
So what else you got, Richie?
Oh, my God. I'm glad I got this done because I totally would have forgotten this last.
This is why we take notes.
Yeah, but I already forgot this like last week and the week before. But I think it's interesting. Someone was mentioning, you know, obviously there's been a lot of talk about the fact that Apple's going to get rid of its lightning port on its phones and just go with contactless charging or Qi charging,
which most phones are probably going to have sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, I mean, not, you know, wireless charging most of them are going to have, but I was worried that a lot of phone companies are going to start going, you know, taking out the USB-C ports.
Yeah, and you know, the biggest problem I see with that is not headphones.
No.
Because a lot of people have wireless headphones these days.
I got a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. The problem I see is, like, for example, I just put a new stereo in my truck. I've got a 2015 Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah.
And over the summer, I put a new stereo in there because I was tired of not having CarPlay. And I love having Apple CarPlay. It's also capable of Android Auto for those people. But I saw, and I almost got one, just thinking of the future compatibility of the stereo, but I didn't think I'd have the truck that long to last this. But I almost got one that did wireless CarPlay because that's actually pretty rare.
It is?
Yeah, you still have to plug into the bottom of the phone in like 95% of cases to get CarPlay to work.
Oh.
And I don't know if Android is in the same boat, but I don't know if you can do wireless Android Auto or not, but I saw one option on the list from Crutchfield, which is a pretty big auto, you know, audio provider.
Yeah. I know those goods.
Yeah, for automobiles, for cars and stuff. But there was one option that had wireless CarPlay. And the only reason I didn't get it is because otherwise it was garbage.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like the stereo at all and the options that it had. And I also wanted this extra thing that plugged into it that gives me some more metrics about my truck and does a little more troubleshooting on it. Gives me tire pressures and things like that.
Yeah.
It didn't do that. That's why I didn't go for it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, looking back on it, to be honest, wireless CarPlay would have been nice because I don't know where my phone's at. But where is my phone?
Gone.
Anyway, wherever my phone is right now, I've got this Zero Lemon battery case on it, and it's got a USB-C port on the bottom of it for charging up the battery and the phone at the same time. And it doesn't have data pass through in that port, which means if I want to plug my phone in to the CarPlay in my truck, I've got to take it out of this case to plug it in with the lightning cable because they don't have that. And that's not to say every case doesn't have data pass through, but this one doesn't. And it's irritating. And I wish I had, the other options there.
But, you know, I was thinking about it from a different perspective because so many people,
Here it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, so many people are now using, are now switching to tablets and phones, like, you know, either company-issued phones or their personal phones.
Right.
For recording and for navigation and using with their little GPS units. And, like, the first thing you realize is that, like, you know, a phone can't make it through the whole day without without a battery pack.
Yeah.
You know, and so once all the ports disappear, you know, it's going to be, how the heck are you going to, like, I can't even imagine, like, I can imagine people, like, using rubber bands to, like, you know, get their phone to, like, lay on top of their, you know, their wireless charger all day and other stupid things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, I wonder how it's going to affect, like, field recording and, you know.
That's a good point. But I think it would go to stuff like these cases, you know, because this, they make cases. I mean, this one plugs into the bottom of the phone.
Yeah.
But what's the difference in having a, what's the difference in having a case that, where, cause the whole back of this case is a battery, yeah. Right? That's where the battery is.
Yeah.
What will be the difference in having this just case wrap around the phone and having that be a wireless charging battery? Because I've got a portable battery that's I want to say it's a 4,000 milliamp battery. It's super thin.
Yeah.
It's about the thickness of this case. And I can set my phone right on top of it. I can plug into it if I want, but I can also set my phone right on top of that battery and it'll wirelessly charge.
Interesting.
Yeah. And funny you should say the rubber band thing, because when I first did it, I actually was using one of my wife's hair ties when we were walking around, and yeah. I secured that battery to the back of my phone because I didn't have this case and battery, and I was charging with it while we were walking because it kept slipping off. I was trying to hold them both at the same time,
yeah,
and it kept slipping off. So it didn't work, but I think when they get rid of the ports, I mean, that's just a problem that'll solve itself with commercialism.
Hopefully.
You know, they'll just create a case that, or some sort of attachment mechanism, but I think it's more likely going to be a case where you can either slip in a wireless charging battery and swap them out or something, or it just works wirelessly.
Interesting. Oh, because that's what I'd guess.
Yeah.
Because one of the handiest things about having this, you know, about having, you know, USB-C now on most phones is the fact that when I was doing my photos for reports and stuff, I could just like, I could just, you know, hook it up to my computer and just have it like download photos instead of having to do it wirelessly. Yeah.
It is nice for that. And there's going to be some use cases where, you know, having the ability to plug in is that's gone is going to be harmful. But I mean, in most cases, I don't know how Android and PC connection works, but I can wirelessly send photos, full resolution photos to my computer without a network.
Oh, same here.
You know, from my phone.
But thing is, it's just faster. At least I found it's faster.
It is faster. If you're doing a ton of them, it's going to be a pain in the ass. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Look, you know, there were some days where I was doing like 100 photos and it's like, you know.
Right. I mean, if you're working, like I use WildNote for that stuff. And so I don't transfer the photos to my computer necessarily, but I'm transferring them up into the WildNote system, which if you're on a hotel Wi-Fi and you've got 100 photos, I mean, that can take a little while, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to consider that kind of thing. And then I don't even know. You run an issue. WildNote doesn't really do stuff, at least from iOS standpoint. It doesn't use like AirDrop or anything like that yet. So you can get stuff off of your device without a network.
Yeah.
Because I've constantly thought about the issue, and it's not just WildNote, but it's other programs that suffer from this.
Yeah.
Like we've done camping projects before.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you want to dump your device and you don't have cell service and you don't have Wi-Fi, staying on the device is all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to leave that device. Now, when I was using Tap Forms, I could AirDrop forms. It was still a pain in the ass because one site might have 7 or 8 forms, right?
Yeah.
And I'd have to do them each individually, but at least I could get them off the device.
Yeah.
But a lot of native programs, they don't use AirDrop in that way yet. And it's tough to get stuff off. But I think that's a limited use case. In most cases, you're not camping for every single project in a complete dead zone, you know?
You know what makes me wonder now that I'm thinking about it? I wonder how many companies, A, buy iPads for their digital recording, and B, buy the Pencil now that the base model iPads are Pencil compatible.
Yeah. I mean, I would only do it if you're using it for excavation.
Interesting.
Yeah. Or you're sketching artifacts in the field.
Yeah. Or I guess you wouldn't.
Because it's real handy for that.
Because I guess no company, you know, still hand draws their sitemaps.
Probably not. Some companies still hand draw like artifacts and stuff like that, though.
Yeah.
You know, projectile points. And it's really nice to take an app like Graphic or something and just take a picture of it, put it on a base layer, and then quickly sketch, even while you're in the field. And the nice thing is, if you can't finish the sketch, you've got the base layer.
Yeah.
You know, I like to sketch profiles and artifacts when I'm standing in front of them.
Same here.
Because, but I've also got the picture as a base layer, and I'm basically tracing.
Yeah.
But I only use the real live version just for those little anomalies that photographs are not picking up. You know, but chances are your photograph's picking up everything you need.
Oh, plus you don't have to bother with the damn plumb line, and then and then the measuring tape down.
Well, you basically save $40,000-$50,000 because you've got a whole other person standing there.
Yeah.
That's being paid to stand there.
Yeah.
And do measurements for you. Yeah. So, you know, you just saved a salary, or better yet, you shifted it over to a more important topic.
Yeah.
You know, a more important task.
You know, that's interesting because I remember being super intimidated by profiles when I first started.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't been taught that in field school. Well, I mean, I sort of had been, but the way they let us do it the way we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so some, like the instructors, were doing it, you know, with the plumb line, and then they had the two measuring tapes, you know, one laid out and then one, you know, one for down, or one for X and one for Y.
Sure.
But then, you know, unfortunately, when I was in field school and doing it, me and my dig partner decided they were just going to eyeball it. So when I got in the Ruby pipeline, I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I mean, do you even really need to draw side profiles if you're like just taking photos of them?
I think it helps. I think drawing a profile, because that's a good point. If you are taking a photograph, that's one thing. But I think to me, if I'm going to make some kind of case for drawing, and I think the reason we used to draw back in the day was partly because the photographs weren't as good.
Yeah.
But also because drawing now, still today, on top of a photograph, helps to highlight those things that you saw as a scientist to point it out to the viewer, right?
Yeah.
To the person that's reading the article. One of the things I saw when I was in grad school, and this is back in 2009 and 10, was looking through, I took a fluvial geomorphology class in grad school, and it was really enlightening and totally outside of anthropology, archaeology, but very important for our understanding of site formation processes, right? How do rivers work?
Yeah.
Because rivers make huge impacts on archaeological sites when they move around, and understanding how those rivers move and being able to interpret paleo riverbeds and stuff like that. Anyway, we had to read a lot of articles that are outside of the archaeology realm as part of that graduate course. And one thing that floored me that I'd never seen before in an archaeology publication, I'm sure they're doing it now, but was huge profile drawings of like river cut banks that were the photograph, but drawn on top of the photograph. You could see the drawing overlay on top of the photograph. And that's what we're talking about. And I think the reason for that, as I said, is for the actual scientist to be able to point out the things that they're seeing to guide the eyes of the reader or the other analyst to where they want to be.
You know, it's interesting. Only one, I mean, they weren't doing it for profiles, as far as I know, even though they should have been. But when you look at a site record, if you're at home and you've ever looked at an actual real site record, you realize it's just like a little white square and then like all the little squiggly lines and then the key. Whereas there's one company, Far Western, they just draw it on the, they just draw the site map on the on the satellite.
I've seen a number of places doing that.
Oh, see?
Yeah, but one of the issues with that,
there's an issue?
There's a very big issue.
Oh.
I've seen it a lot of times. Sometimes you'll have a really small site.
Yeah.
Sometimes your site's only a few meters by a few meters, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen companies that want to stick with this because their GIS department's been told you'll put a satellite image as a bottom layer, as a base layer on this map. But, you know, the resolution of a lot of satellite imagery, it's like 2 meters, right? And so when you get down into that small site, do you know how many site forms I've seen where it's a satellite image that's just 100% blurry and you can't even tell what it is? And then you've got drawing on top of that. It's like, listen, at some point, put the topo map back there.
Oh, you know? Well, I was going to say, haul out your drone and take an aerial photo.
Obviously, that would be the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And a lot of places, I wouldn't say a lot, but some places do have publicly available aerial imagery as well.
Ooh.
You know, so try to find that if you can, because the satellite imagery is never going to be good. And I honestly wouldn't put a satellite image in the background of a map unless I was at least, 50 meters across.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not going to be able to see anything. What's the point of having it there? The whole point of having the satellite imagery is to have a better picture of what the site looks like.
Yeah.
You know, and the only reason we are using satellite imagery is because Richie's absolutely right. They didn't bring a drone out there.
Yeah.
You know?
But for getting back to site profiles, like, it for me at least, it'd be so much easier to visualize, you know, if you, instead of having, you know, the squiggly lines and everything,
yeah,
you know, you just put like in line on the over the photo and said, this is this and that's that, because right. You know, I don't know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at these at these like profiles.
This stuff is always so half-assed. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, people don't look at these as they look. I feel like a lot of people look at site profiles or site drawings and location maps as a consequence of their job and not as some future scientific thing that people are going to be looking at. You know, yeah, like they're just like, oh, I've got to finish 25 drawings today and I'm just going to do it. You know, they just don't put any time in it. I got to say real quick, Corbin Dixon is watching. How's it going, Corbin?
Hey, what's up?
I think he joined us last week. And Alexia Sober just joined, which means...
Oh, neat.
Which makes you think I'm hungry because she owns a fantastic cafe up in Virginia City.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, the Canvas Cafe.
Yeah.
So these days
I'll get over there.
I know. I don't get up there enough. I've been up there a few times, but in fact, we were up there not too long ago and I didn't see her there, but yeah, great place. So, and Alexia says that we are her favorite archaeologists. Well, I appreciate that. Although I know she's lying because Jenny is her favorite archaeologist.
Oh, it's true. Well, or at least...
That's right. But Jenny's probably our favorite archaeologist too. So there you go.
Yay.
Anyway, yeah. So what else do we got?
Oh, hang on. Let's see. Huh.
Well, you've got Adventures in Unemployment.
Yeah. I was, cause you know, cause I was thinking about it. Obviously there's my experience, but then I realized, you know, you've also got experience in it. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is that depending on the state you are and whatnot, a lot of people I've noticed, or, you know, used to what they used to do. I mean, I don't, you know, I know what I do. But thing is, I know a lot of people, what they do is they just sit on the couch and like watch YouTube or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you and I are good examples of what you should be doing during when you're unemployed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how many people are like get so angry or worked up over the field season, like, I want to go do something else, blah, blah, and then suddenly they're unemployed and they don't do anything.
Yeah, man. I mean, take advantage of it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because everybody in archaeology is going to be unemployed at some point.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of the job. Whether it's for 2 weeks or 2 months, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Or 6 months.
Or 6 months. I mean, you maximize that time.
Yeah.
You know, if you worked a 9-to-5 for 15 years and all of a sudden you're unemployed, that's going to put you in some depression, right?
Yeah.
Like you've got bills to pay. What am I going to do now? How am I going to find another job? But don't treat this job like other jobs.
No.
You know, being unemployed doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It's mean you've got a state-sponsored vacation for a little while you find another job and work on your side hustle.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, as I mentioned, I started my business while on unemployment.
Yeah, and right now, you know? I am, like, applying to all sorts of different jobs. Today, well, you know, one of the things I was doing outside other than updating OBS and Skype is I literally, like, I heard a radio ad for a local radio station, and they were advertising for marketing, and I spent, like, 5 hours listening to that station like afterwards because I had missed the contact info.
Yeah.
You know, I told you this like before, but I haven't told them this. And I was listening to it and then I listened to it like for 8 hours the next day, didn't hear it again. But I'm like, well, you know, and it's not on their website, but the crazy part is they said, you know, send, you know, go to the website or call us in. And they gave the general, like they gave the general like radio, the general station number where they said, come in. And so, you know, I thought, well, maybe I should just apply. So that's what I was doing outside. I was literally, I had written up a letter like Friday and was just like thinking, should I send it or not? And then I sent it.
Yeah.
You know, because like, what's the harm?
There you go.
I'm unemployed.
Yeah, there is no harm.
Yeah. I mean, as long as
you don't take the leap, you'll never know.
You know, as long as the, oh yeah, that's how I ended up at the bookstore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously, what was it? Was it 4 years ago that you were, that you went to China Lake?
4 or 5, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, you know, like
2015.
Like, you know, you obviously offered me like to go on the next project. I'm like, no, I'm going to try to do something else.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, granted, that wasn't like, you know, that probably I probably could have planned it out better. Ended up at a different job as in the bookstore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, still so many people in archaeology, not only do they not, you know, not only do they not do anything with their winter, but then they often wonder, do I have any skills that apply to anything else?
Right.
But they do. They just don't like, you know, they're just not like giving a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just like spend all winter and then, you know, come spring, they're super angry that they're not being hired yet.
Yeah.
Like this person, this, all my friends have been hired. Why not me?
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's just like, you know, you got to be proactive.
I know. And that's the whole key to this whole thing. you know, being proactive, working on your side hustle all the time, you know, because that's the other thing you're doing. You're not only looking and applying for other jobs.
No.
You're working on the stuff that, you know, either A, provides you joy and pleasure, which there's a lot to be said, you know, in this field, in just your life in general.
Yeah.
But B, might also bring in a little bit of a side income for you at some point. You
Hopefully.
Know, if you get the YouTube views and, and the subscriptions, and sometimes that stuff goes long time without anything happening, and all of a sudden people start finding your stuff and it's viral.
Yeah.
You know, and then you, before you know it, you've got 20,000 subscribers.
Yeah. I mean, like, how long did it take for the CRM Arc podcast to start, you know?
I mean, yeah, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And the APN as a whole, it just, it takes a while as it gains traction. But I think consistency is the key. This show is a good example. I mean, there's four people watching right now.
Yeah.
And we could easily say, why are we even doing this? There's four people watching right now, you know, but I think consistency is the key.
More importantly, we've done it a whole bunch of times where no one was watching.
A lot of times where no one was watching.
Yeah.
But you know what we do during those times? We still record it.
Yeah.
It still ends up on there. And if somebody ends up seeing it later, great. But it helps hone our process as well.
Yeah.
And if we just, I just saw in one of the podcast groups I'm part of on Facebook, and someone was like, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, I'm looking at my, you know, guys help me out, basically is what they're saying. They started two podcasts in 2019. One of them had like 20 episodes and one of them had 7 episodes.
Yeah.
And they were like, I'm not getting the engagement that I want. I'm still getting like 30 listens per episode on this one. And I'm like, 7 episodes in the entire year? It's not even monthly. Like, you need to get out there and do it. Establish a schedule. Establish a routine, you know?
Yeah.
And the only reason this show hasn't been on a routine is because Richie's actually working.
Yeah.
And so am I. And and we just can't connect and do it. This is the kind of show that you can't just record. Now, we may have figured that out.
Yes.
But it's a complex problem to figure out. It requires expensive gear and just getting that problem done. So, but we're figuring it out. We're continuing to do this, even though I see one person watching right now. And, and I don't care. You know, like, that's fine with me. So,
I was like, it could... This is probably like a non sequitur, but get good at spreadsheets and like, or at least scheduling yourself or using Google Calendar.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing. Like, I realized, you know, I talked about this somewhat last week, but it's like, I've been looking over my like Google Calendar. It's like, wow, I'm like, even though it doesn't feel like I'm doing a lot, you know, I realized I am. Like, I'm doing a surprising amount. It just, you know, there's so much to do. I have to chip away.
Well, that's a good tip too, because I think putting stuff on your calendar, a lot of people like to put or feel like the only thing they can put on their calendar is like work things or tasks or stuff like that. But let's say you are unemployed and you've just got stuff that you want to do, even if it's, I don't know, housework or something like that, you know, I mean, just put it on your calendar, because filling up that calendar helps with your psychology. And I would like to say, Connor Johnen, or as they say in the podcast, he says, ArcPodNet is no fun. Does he even edit podcasts? And Connor is one of the bastards that's a host of the Life in Ruins podcast. Don't go listen to that show if you want to keep your ears from bleeding. I'm kidding. Go listen to that show, because I'm on one of the next episodes.
Oh, you are?
They interviewed me.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. I told them during the interview, I think this episode comes out mid-January, but I told them during the interview, in 5 years, not one person has interviewed me on their podcast.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Not that I've been asking for it.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, I appreciated the chance to talk about the APN.
Oh, interesting. Because that was one of the first videos I ever put up.
Yeah.
Like when you were first when you were still living in, I forget where that is.
Yeah, somewhere
way out
in
there.
Rio.
No, when that place.
Oh, in Wakefield Springs, way out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
When you had that place that like I could never find.
I know. Connor says too much editing. I think Connor's drunk. That's what I'm going to go ahead with.
Yeah.
I think he's just been probably drinking since Friday.
Yeah.
And probably just ready to record another podcast.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, let's take a quick out so I can have an editing point for for the archaeology show. Again, if you don't like commercials, then either listen to this live or arcpodnet.com/members, and you can listen commercial free and early when I get my crap together and actually get them edited. So as Connor says, so we'll take a break real quick for the audio portion of this, and we'll be back in a second.
You may have heard my pitch for membership. It's a great idea and really helps out. However, you can also support us by picking up a fun t-shirt, sticker, or something from a large selection of items from our Tee Public store. Head over to arcpodnet.com/shop for a link. That's arcpodnet.com/shop to pick up some fun swag and support the show.
And we're back for the audio and the video. And we're going to wrap this up in the next probably 10 minutes.
Oh, hang on.
So, Richie, what else do we have here?
Let's
see. And Connor
see.
Says, yes, he is very drunk.
So. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, shoot. Hang on. Let me.
Now, I had a peppermint schnapps during my last recording, so, but that didn't get me drunk at all.
Hang on. Just moving things a little.
Probably can't have any drinks tonight. I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I got to get on an airplane to go to North Carolina.
Oh, my God. Actually, there is one other thing I can talk about. The power of being a nice person.
Yeah. Elaborate. Because
the Friday, I go out, you know, to a bar here in town, Chapel. And, like, you know, the new bar back there was telling me she appreciates, because normally I'm, like, working. Like, literally, I'm, like, that person who's, like, looking, you know, is on the computer and then just looks up. It's like, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and it's Friday. Maybe I should go out and, like, you know, not be in this apartment for a little while and not, like, in front of this computer.
Yeah.
And so she was telling me she appreciated the fact that I, you know, was always the last customer.
Yeah.
Because I'm always going in there and being nice and not, like, causing a ruckus and, like, not throwing up on the bar. And I feel like that happens, like, a lot to me in places I go.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, general life lessons.
That's good.
Be nice to people. And more importantly, don't be in front of the computer all the time.
Yeah.
Like, so
interact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this, like last night, like I always try to set Saturday as I generally try to have, you know, now that I've been unemployed, I try to make sure that Saturday and Sunday, I don't schedule anything and don't do anything, but I usually do anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so last night I was like, you know, like I should have gone to sleep because I was going to go sleep early. But then I just started, you know, just started checking through footage and everything. And before I knew it was like 4 o'clock.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's just like, get off the computer every once in a while. Hopefully that was the point, because I kind of forgot where I was going with that.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Be nice to people. Do good things.
Yeah. And get off the computer. Like, because, you know, obviously we were just haranguing people about being productive during their unemployment time, but also not always, like, not burning yourself out of unemployment.
Yeah.
On unemployment.
Yeah. I mean, it's important to stay busy.
Yeah.
You know, and keep doing stuff. And
or be balanced.
And be balanced. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another thing we talked about on the Sierra Mark podcast, was a work-life balance.
Yeah.
In our personal goals for 2020.
Yeah.
You know, Heather mentioned having a better work-life balance, so.
Oh, my God, you know, yeah.
I hear that.
Oh.
So, although I've never really considered myself having that kind of problem. I mean, sometimes there's just work I need to do at home that I wish I didn't have to do.
Yeah.
But for the most part, almost everything I do it because I enjoy doing it.
Ah.
You know, and stuff I want to do, so.
Interesting. I don't
know. Well, so we kind of talked about taking, you call this archaeology on the road.
Yeah.
At least us taking it on the road.
Yeah, we're going to be experimenting with that, hopefully, depending on how much time we've got. It probably shouldn't take that long.
Yeah, no, probably not. So like we'll figure that out and hopefully keep this a little more regular.
Yeah.
The times might change, especially if you're on the road and you're working until like 4 o'clock on a Sunday.
We'll see.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, hopefully I get a job here in town.
Yeah.
Like, that's like my major goal. Like, it's why I've been applying to places like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, just not anything terrible like a warehouse again.
Right, right. and then the last thing you have in your list here is what's new at the APN.
Yeah.
I would say the biggest thing that I can't remember if I mentioned or not, because I mentioned it on the other show.
Oh.
Is that we have an employee, Madison, now starting on January 1st.
Oh, you definitely didn't mention that.
I did not mention that. So she's our new advertising manager.
Yay.
And I'm hoping to possibly even have some people work with her at some point in the future. But, you know, we're at the point, I think, finally, 5 years in, where we have all the pieces in place where we can actually take advertising a little more seriously and get somebody in to do that.
You know,
she's got a only working a handful of hours a week just to get this thing rolling, you know, making kind of a base salary, but then advertising commission, that's how we're paying her. And she's not even in archaeology, which is, I think, crucial because... Not crucial, but I want somebody who knows what they're doing. And she has that background from college. She's doing it now for a big casino in town. And she's got, she comes with, you know, a lot of experience, even though she's young, she's been doing this and she can bring a lot of good stuff to the table here. So, I mean, I'm basically going to show her everything I know about archaeology and what that means and the different places where I'd like to see advertising come from.
Yeah.
And then just kind of let her run with it because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Or otherwise, we'd be successful in having ads on every show right now. And you might be saying, why do you want to have ads on every show? Because this is expensive to put on.
True.
You know, we want to keep this going. I want to get the editing done professionally. I mean, I'm, for all intents and purposes, a professional editor, but I don't have the time to keep it going.
And more importantly, you want to have ads that aren't like, you know, was it Blue Apron?
Oh, my God.
Or like, you know, you don't want to be constantly haranguing people with like Audible.
I'm not saying we won't do that in the future. I can't commit to that, but I don't want to do it right now. You know, I'd rather have some stuff that makes more sense for our audience.
Really?
So, well, and the other thing, the biggest thing for me is really editing in the other support services.
Yeah.
You know, because we do, again, have stuff that we need to pay for, but editing is such a big thing with the APN and it restricts me from allowing more shows into the APN. Ah. If all of our hosts suddenly said they wanted to do weekly shows, I would have to do this as a full-time job.
Wow.
You know, right now I'm happy that most of them are either monthly or every 2 weeks because I just simply don't have the time.
Yeah.
It's either that or the editing would suffer, right? It would just get worse. And I spend a lot of time making these shows sound great.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more time on the Life in Ruins podcast. But now I spend a lot of time making sure, you know, we don't cut for content, but but I do cut for ums and ahs and the natural things that people do with their, you know, with their speech.
Or alternatively, more people on the APN could decide they wanted to do live streams.
Right. I mean, if we just had the equipment and the infrastructure to do that, I'd like to have, I'd like to hire producers for every show to bring in content. You know, I'd like to have three or four like senior producers that are just bringing in guests for all the shows.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the big barriers to entry to podcasting is you think you, you think you want to do a show, but then 5-6 episodes in, you're like, my God, I'm tired of contacting people trying to find guests for the show. You know, I'm 8 years in and I'm tired of doing it. So, I mean, I like doing it, but I just, again, it's one of those things I don't have a lot of time for.
Yeah.
So we have a couple volunteer producers that are doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But I would like to bring in some more producers. I'd like to pay some producers. You know, volunteers are great, but I like to recognize people for their time. If you do want to be a volunteer producer, we need one for the archaeology show. We need one for profiles in CRM, which Richie might be helping out with that. And CRM Arc podcast, we don't always have guests on there, but that's probably because we just don't have them lined up. I'd like to get a producer for that show.
We need a producer for this show to like handle. We need a producer for this show to handle all the transitions.
Well, that's more of an engineer.
Oh, I guess that's true.
That's kind of how I look at it. I don't know how the terms all work out.
Yeah.
One thing I know is that producers help find content, though.
Oh, then I guess we do. It's just an engineer then.
It'd be nice to have one. We need somebody local.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what I'm looking for coming down the road here.
Yeah.
So that's what's new on the APN. We'll see if you're. If you're a CRM firm or you work for a CRM firm and you want to advertise on the CRMR podcast, your job postings, especially coming up to spring here,
we're
going to have a special rate for that. It's not, it's different than our regular advertising because it doesn't go in those slots.
Yeah.
It gets, you know, put on the show in a different way.
Yeah. Interesting. So if someone wants to do that, do they go to the website that you're using to do the advertising or do they go to the APN website?
Well, right now, they don't go anywhere. They contact our advertising manager. Advertising at archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to send you a contract and I'm going to send you an invoice. So none of it's purchased through the website anymore.
Oh, all right.
And then we get the copy.
Yeah.
If you have the ability to record a recording that's at the level that we require, then fantastic. But if you don't, then we will record it for you. We'll either have one of the hosts record it if you request that, or I'll do it, or Tristan will do it, or something like that. And then we'll get the thing done and then we'll put the ad up.
Interesting. I'm waiting to see those, like, you know, those things where an advertiser sends you like a general list of bullet points and then, you know, you have to riff on it. Cause, you know, I feel like we've all watched or listened to those shows, either those podcasts or like, you know, the Jordan Harbinger show where you can tell they're totally ad-libbing because, you know, they were told to ad-lib.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what I'm waiting to see.
Well, and I don't mind those. The only reason they're able to do that, those bigger podcasts.
Yeah.
Cause they're getting a lot of money for that one ad.
Yeah.
A lot of money. But I'm going to be, you know, the APN's going to be getting like $50 for that one ad. You know what I mean? So we don't have time to spend 3 minutes on your ad doing a dynamic ad-libbed ad on it.
unless you're willing to pay.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, if you want to give us the money for that, but I want to just get the information out there. I mean, some of them we are doing a little more like that, but and some of the ones that I do are kind of like that sometimes.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's we're just not at that level quite yet.
Year 10. I know. Maybe. 5-year, 10-year plan.
That's right. I think when we're up to about 30 cents a download for our ads, right now they're at 10 cents a download starting in 2020, which isn't too bad. It's way low, way less than industry standards, to be honest. And the nice thing is it's tied to downloads. So you're not buying like a month on a show and you get what you get. If you buy 20,000 downloads, you're getting 20,000 downloads. Your ad will be done when that number is hit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How long would that take, actually? Now that I'm curious.
It depends on what show you're on and how many shows you're on. We're having an ad run finished right now at 10,000 downloads. Should be done probably in the next week or two.
How long would it take?
About a month and a half.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because they're on several shows. You know, it's the Simon Fraser University ad. Because the audience for that is the Sierra Mark podcast, the Dirt podcast, Archaeotech.
Yeah.
And then those shows on the All Shows feed.
Yeah.
So, I think I put it on Life and Ruins too, because it's generally a CRM audience as well.
Yeah.
So, or at least an archaeology audience, I should say.
Yeah. I also appreciate the fact that they actually come up with bits at the beginning sometimes.
I know. Well, anything you hear at the beginning of Life and Ruins podcast was usually a mistake that I cut and threw in the beginning.
Oh, alrighty.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I do that too sometimes when I'm doing my video editing.
Chuck Hutchinson joined us late. He said, hey, what did I miss? Well, good thing for you, Chuck. The recording of this will be processed and available on Facebook.
And happy archaeology fun time.
On YouTube.
Yeah. And if you want, you can always go through the website.
Yeah. Richie's website, which is the same name, right?
Yeah. Just .com.
Yeah. So also, this will be released in a few weeks on the Archaeology Show podcast feed. So if you subscribe to the Archaeology Show, you'll see this there. So,
You said a few weeks?
I can't remember what the date is, but yeah, a few weeks.
All right. Then I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it out loud.
What's that?
Was it Rise of Skywalker is the best Star Wars ever, even though I don't believe it and haven't seen it yet.
Nice.
And I only say that because I've been watching too much YouTube and people hate The Last Jedi so much, even though I thought it wasn't a bad movie.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably like it. I'm not like a super fan of those movies, but
neither am I.
I'll probably like it just enough as a decent movie with high quality graphics.
Yeah.
And a lot of money poured into it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a high bar set for those movies because I don't want to set a high bar. I just want to go in and not think about the world for 2 hours and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably see it over the break in North Carolina.
Interesting. Wait, did you ever see Knives Out?
Which one?
Knives Out.
Knives Out?
Yeah. The one. Oh, my God. That was so good.
Yeah.
The dude who directed The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson, that was his Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
And it was like an Agatha Christie movie, except with Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Playing a southerner.
Nice.
Southerner with a really weird British southern accent. But it was really good.
Nice.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I think we're going to call it here. Yeah. If you're listening live or even if you're listening to a recording, we're going to try to be hitting 3:30 on most Sundays.
Yeah.
Unless we come up with a different time, but I think this works for us right now.
Yeah.
And if we get the live thing, if we get the remote thing figured out, because I'm going to be in North Carolina, Richie's going to either be here or in the Bay Area somewhere.
Nah, I'm going to be here.
Excuse me. We're going to try 3:30 next Sunday. Yeah. So like and subscribe. Do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
Hit the bell on the YouTube channel. I think that does the notifications if you do that, or subscribe or something like that, whatever that means.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Yeah. And Corbin said, good show, guys. Thank you, Corbin. And for our live audience, again, happy holidays, whatever holiday you happen to celebrate. If you don't celebrate any holidays, then happy Wednesday, happy week.
Oh, hopefully you win do you win the feats of strength, or do you just like, you know, participate in it?
I don't think anybody wins the feats of strength.
All right.
Yeah, happy Festivus. Festival for the rest of us. So, all right, guys, thanks a lot. And we will see you. I never even put up the brand new outro. So I'm going to leave that up just a second here. I will mention that while this is up. So head on over to arcpodnet.com/shop.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple new designs. And if you're hitting it right now, if you're listening to this live, anytime we put up a brand new design, it's 20 or 30% off for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And I put up a few in the last few days.
Yeah.
One of them from the Life and Ruins podcast, because it was a somewhat of a private joke on that show where David Howe said, archaeology is the worst thing mankind ever, agriculture is the worst thing mankind ever came up with. Archaeology is the second worst thing mankind ever came up with. So we've got a t-shirt that says agriculture with a line, crossed out through it, hashtag agriculture. But then I was like thinking about my Ask an Archaeology kind of Ask an Archaeology series, and I put up one that's basically a right triangle with 1 meter, 1 meter, and 1.41. And it says Ask an Archaeologist. So they're fun. They're good. I like those. And we actually, the day after I put up that, I call it hypotenuse.
Yeah.
The day after I put that up, somebody bought one.
Really?
Yeah, which was pretty sweet. Yeah. So go check those out. arcpodnet.com/shop. Not all of our designs are right there, but if you click on any one of those images, it takes you to our public store where you can see all of our current designs.
My God, you just gave me an idea for t-shirt. I'm going to obviously say it out the air, but whatever.
There you go. There you go. Let's do it.
All right.
So, all right. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Yeah. And we will, I guess, see you on the other side or possibly on the 30th.
Yeah. Yay.
Thanks for listening to the Archaeology Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. You can provide feedback using the contact button on the right side of the website at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/archaeology. Or you can email Chris at archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Please like and share the show wherever you saw it so more people can have a chance to listen and learn. Send us show suggestions and follow ArcPodNet on Twitter and Instagram. This show is produced by the Archaeology Podcast Network. Opinions are solely those of the hosts and guests of the show. However, the APN stands by their hosts. Special thanks to the band Sea Hero for letting us use their song I Wish You'd Look. Check out their albums on Bandcamp at seahero.bandcamp.com. Check out our next episode in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, keep learning, keep discovering new things, and keep listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network. Have an awesome day. This show is produced and recorded by the Archaeology Podcast Network, Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle, in Reno, Nevada, at the Reno Collective.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
Thanks again for listening to this episode and for supporting the Archaeology Podcast Network. If you want these shows to keep going, consider becoming a member for just $7.99 US a month. That's cheaper than a venti quad eggnog latte. Go to archpodnet.com/members for more info.